We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Oh, baby. Fired up.
And by she, we mean the show.
It's a female.
It's a female show. Yeah.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the DMBA show. Let's go. Let's go.
Man, look how enormous I look in this camera angle, because it's a three-person set.
Yeah.
Don't I look enormous?
Well, your legs look good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, they look good.
Thank you. You are enormous. That's something.
That is part of it. That's part of what's going on here.
Yeah.
We're presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR. Sign up today. Use promo code DNVR today, because tomorrow, to start the show, we're going to come up with some bets that we're going to use to you know, have some fun with the draft in the parts where we're not that concerned. You know, the lottery doesn't have anything to do with the Nuggets, so whatever. We are getting our final guest list wrapped up for tomorrow's show, guys. It's going to be great. There's a chance it's actually ridiculous. Ridiculously great. But so I say that just to say, teasing, you guys want to set your calendars, you want to set your watchers. And by the way, you don't want to miss the intro. We always do an intro for the NBA draft, so you're going to want to catch the intro that we filmed yesterday.
We hired Ryan Green.
We think it's good, but you know, it might be bad. Either way, you're going to want to tune in. today, guys, the last day of prep before the draft, we're going to be going over the best shooters in the draft, the best defenders in the draft, the best boomer bust prospects, high ceiling, low floor guys, and a couple other top fives, just to kind of give you, if you have a thing you're especially, we really want defense or I really want shooting, you'll know which guys you're going to be rooting for. To help me do that, I've got the man with the wind in his hair who compiled these lists. They're his lists that we will argue with, and he's wearing pants that look like his legs. It's Harrison.
I like those pants.
I got a very neutral tone going today.
It looks like you're naked. It looks like you did a pantsless Wednesday or Thursday. Okay. What day is it? Wednesday.
I mean, I could only wish my skin was this nice of a color.
Yeah.
the problem with these lists is they are my lists, which means you guys are going to get mad at me and disagree with me about them. They are also only guys that are probably going to be available with the Nuggets. I'm not including any lottery projected guys in these lists, FYI. So don't get too mad at me.
Yeah.
Don't get mad.
You're like, Chet Holmgren's better. And you're like, yes, of course, but that, we're not going there. Over here, Magnum PI himself, it is Brendan Vogt.
How we doing, fellas? I had a scooter accident on my way to work today. My first ever scooter.
How fast were you going?
Yeah,
break it down.
I was going full speed.
What is full
30
speed?
Miles 18? An hour?
It's 18? Actually now 15. It used to be 25.
Oh. 15, though, like, it sounds like weak. No, man. 15,
So this fella pulls out. Hey, man, seatbelt saved my life. This fella pulls out. He's parked on the street, side park, and he pulls out right as I'm crossing.
Mm.
So I come to a stop. Scooter flies out of my legs. I got two choices. I could let it fly into this gentleman's car, but I'm broke, so I can't do that. So I let it swing in my hands. You know the Razor scooters? Remember when they came around and clipped you in the heel?
Oh my God, yeah. When you're trying to do that heel flip or whatever, the bar spin.
Worse when they're like 25 pounds. Yeah, Logan, I was going Mach 10. Call sign, Maverick.
That's the worst ever. Well, we hope your Achilles is better.
Me too.
Hope you find that Neosporin you were after.
Yeah,
it is bleeding on the couch right now. Do we want to hit any news and notes before we get, is there any big like news or notes around the league? There've been like a few like little things that have troubled. I was trying to throw you for your Tatum slander. I thought.
I was really confused. I did see Bleacher Report put out a nice list.
Oh, did they?
Bleacher Report. We love lists on this show.
We love a nice ranking.
Oh, nice player ranking. It's the time. Yeah. It is the season.
Nothing I get more up for than a player ranking in the offseason.
Well, how could you not? And the best kinds of player rankings. Because it's hard enough to pin them down in the year. So let's just figure out who the best players are for the next 5 years.
Okay. Next five years.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're talking about Jokic's prime, sure.
Yeah, where would you guys put back-to-back MVP on that list?
1 or 2.
I would put him on the list,
I'd put him 1, 2, and at the very worst, I'd put him 3.
Yeah, 3. That's where, maybe 3. He came in at 4. All right.
Wow.
That's tough. You know who came in at 3?
It's not a two-time MVP, I'm guessing.
It was Jason Tatum.
Oh, wow.
Which makes sense. Because why pencil in the 2-time MVP when you could pick the guy who had the worst finals performance in the last 15 years? He's earned it.
That is messed up, man. That is messed up. Freaking Jason Tatum. You're right, though. So Vote actually sends this to us in the group chat last night, and it's like, it actually was completely self-righteous. It was like, this is why I do what I do, or something like that. Like, this is why I'm important, guys. It's like, yes. So the world needs Vote telling people.
I meant that, so here we are. Yeah. Thanks, Bleacher Report.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Real quick, before we get into your list, when I kind of wanted, one of the things I did today was I went through and looked at the 21st picks of the last 10 years.
Oh, just I love this.
It's always fun to like go and look and say like, you know what it is. So I looked at the top, the last 10 picks at 21, the last 10 picks at 30. And then I took the best picks of 21 through 30. So like kind of to give you all where the expectation is. Here's the last 10 years. Keon Johnson last year.
Bust.
Or early, but still hadn't played. Brandon Clark, very serviceable player.
Nice player.
Very serviceable. Grayson Allen,
nice player.
Serviceable player. Terrence Ferguson.
Who?
You don't remember Terrence Ferguson?
Like, of course
he
I
had,
remember
He
him,
had
man.
Some upside, but the thing about what's interesting about him is he is an upside.
T-Ferg.
He was a nice guy, too. I liked him. He was a guy that
good
just
interview.
Requires time. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you start to think about if Denver were to draft Brandon Clark this year, that exact guy, you'd be like, you know what? That has a usefulness right out of the package, whatever. Yeah.
Which is funny because Terrence Ferguson was on the Thunder. He should have gotten all the time in the world.
But my point is, nonetheless, that he wasn't a guy that if the Nuggets get Terrence Ferguson, this year's Terrence Ferguson, it'd be a disaster. It would I think, distract Denver from what the ultimate goal is. Like, you know what I mean? DeAndre Bembry. Justin Anderson.
Bust.
Mitch McGarry.
Bust.
Gorgui Dieng.
Good player.
Let's slow down on Mitch McGarry. Bust.
Really?
No.
Are you taking a second draft on him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Gorgui Dieng is an interesting one because he's not good, but he has, like, narrow usefulness. Like, if Denver got Gorgui.
He carved out a nice career.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, on Denver, I don't think he'd be a guy that fits a five-year timeline, but he might give you 1 or 2 good years before you trade him or something.
Yeah.
Jared Solinger, Nolan Smith, Craig Brackens. Don't even remember him.
Craig Brackens. That's a made-up player.
Yeah, you stuck that one in
the
there.
Last 10 30th picks. You guys ready?
Oh here God. We go. Buckle
Santi
up.
Aldama.
I know him.
Kevin Porter Jr.
No.
Good player, but again, if Denver got him,
maybe the most overrated player in the league.
First of all, he was a 30th pick. But nonetheless, distraction. It's just like Denver can't afford a Kevin Porter Jr. right now.
Yeah.
Omari Spellman. Josh Hart.
No. We love a Josh Hart.
Josh Hart. I mean, that would be a great one. Damian Jones.
No.
Kevon Looney.
We love Kevon Looney on this show.
Now, Kevon Looney did take some developmental years, you know, so a little bit of developmental time, but nonetheless, a good player. Really good player. Kyle Anderson.
Nice player.
Man, I still remember it. That might have been my first summer league was Kyle Anderson's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting I remember him.
He was Virginia, right?
UCLA.
Yeah, so close.
Good try.
Nemanja Nedovic.
Nedovic. Yeah, never really panned out.
Festus Ezeli. Like, Denver got Festus Ezeli. He was useful for 1 or 2 years as a backup.
He broke down because of injuries, though.
Yeah, he did. Jimmy Butler.
Heard of him. Good coffee.
Crazy.
And does have that dog in him.
Lazar Hayward. Don't
Marquette
know.
Legend.
Lazar Hayward.
So we go now to the best picks in the 20s, outside of the guys I just mentioned. So that gives you a sense, by the way, like, of all the guys we went through there, there's maybe 3 or 4 that you would have said, like, oh, that's a guy that if you just copy and paste it into this year's draft, it would be cool for Denver to have had. There's a lot more guys that you would look at and say they're either a distraction because they require time and effort and energy and thought, or they're just like, oh, you hope they would be something they weren't, and then you move on. So I've just set expectations here a little lower than what I think people want.
I love it.
I've really sort of reframed my perspective on this draft through that kind of lens in these last few days. Last year, I got caught up a bit in the can they help them right now fit thing. That led me to the Springer pick. The rest is history. Right. So I do kind of want to avoid that this time around, you know, especially because being realistic about either pick 21 or 30, coming off of Bones, we're a bit spoiled. Is that guy likely to help a contender right away? Not at all.
And I think a lot of what's funny is a lot of the bust picks are the Jaden Springers. The guys that you looked at were like, hey, they could be a narrow role type guy. And then if they don't fill that role at the NBA level, then they have no other avenues towards success. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. All right. Best of the 20s.
Oh,
okay. Maybe. Last 10 years. Evan Fournier.
Nice.
20th pick in 2012. He was a Nugget, so like he took some time, but he was a good player. Would he play for Denver today? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but bounced around. Caris LeVert.
Okay.
Grant Williams.
Okay.
22nd, 2019. That's a good one. Jared Allen.
Okay.
Let's mark down Jared Allen. Okay. Backup center. Okay. 22nd pick over then starting center, obviously. Bobby Portis, 22nd pick. Same thing.
This is going well.
Mason Plumlee, backup center. Did we just say low ceiling backup center two times in a row?
Find your backup center in the early 20s.
Kenneth Faried, 22nd pick, 2011.
Oh, yes.
OG Anunoby, the famous 23rd pick, 2017. What could have been? Anthony Simons, scoring. Simons, to me, though, is like, that's a distraction for Denver because it took him a while to be good. And even now, you look at him and go, is he a championship piece?
Dude, did we just learn it's all about backup center?
Well, we're keep going.
I got to adjust my board.
Tim Hardaway Jr.,
nice pick.
24th pick, 2013. Reggie Jackson, 24th pick, 2011. But Reggie Jackson bounced around a little bit. Clint Capella, back up center, low ceiling center, right?
Well, I think his ceiling is where Jokic is, and he's nearly there now.
That was like 3 years ago. 25 years old, 2014.
Yeah.
Or 25th pick. Kyle Kuzma, 27th pick, 2017.
Okay.
Pascal Siakam, 27th pick.
Ooh,
that's like
spicy.
Siakam's a good one because if you, the draft on him, like the negatives are, well, he can't shoot and he's awkward. Like you're like, oh, right. But he actually ended up turning out the best of everything else.
But even that did take time, right?
It took time.
Most improved player.
A little bit. Yeah.
Like fastest improved player, but
Larry Nance Jr. is kind of a backup center, 27. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 27th pick, 2014.
Serbia's ears on
Rudy
fire.
Gobert, 27th pick, famously. Jordan Poole, 28th pick. I love this trio right here in a row. Keldon Johnson, 29th pick. Derek White, 29th pick. DeJounte Murray, 29th pick. Who knew the Spurs all had three 29th picks starting for them?
Well, Spurs know what they're doing in the draft.
They do know what they're doing.
This is why when somebody gets drafted to the Spurs, everybody gives that pick an A.
They're going to turn into Keldon Johnson level, which is like really good, but whatever.
Yeah.
Clint Capella, Larry Nance Jr., Rudy Gobert, Mason Plumlee, Jared Allen. So of all, like we talk about the best guys, they all are the same type. It's not just that they're all centers. They're the same type of center. They're not sexy. None of them have like, dynamic skill set, Jared Allen. It's like, no, they block shots, they rim roll, and they all buy into their role. And I just find that interesting because it almost like, again, this is very anecdotal, small sample size, but I do think there is something too, when you get later in the draft, maybe you get an upside play like Bones that the flaws don't matter as much as you thought they might. Or maybe you get the what is this, the old metaphor, the hedgehog and the fox? The fox can do everything, but the hedgehog can do one thing well, right? He gets in the little ball, so whatever. Like, maybe you get the guys that can't do a whole lot, but it's like, can they block shots? Can they roll hard to the rim? And are they comfortable doing that?
Yeah.
That might be the easiest skill set to be like, they do that. And there is one guy in here, Koloko, who is like, that's him. He's Clint Capella.
Yeah, and it's interesting because all those backup centers, backup bigs that you named, that they're in this second crop of prospects where at the top of this draft, you know, you've got the Holmgrens of the world, the Jabari Smiths, then you've got Mark Williams out of Duke, Jalen Duren out of Memphis. Those are your top bigs, and then there's a gap, and then you get into the guys that are projected to go in the 20s,
right?
Like the Walker Kesslers, Koloko out of Arizona. You know, there's a couple other guys early second round potentially, so there could be that type of player available in the 20s after you get past the Williams and the Durans of the world.
I just thought it was an interesting trend to look at. I also wonder, like, for Denver, you would love for a guy to develop to be good enough that he's worth a lot of money. But in 3-4 years when there were time to be paid, Denver might have that. It might be time for Denver Nuggets, you know, 2.0, you know, or whatever. But I do also think with a young center, if you get a great young center, but he's not quite good enough to be your tent pole player, but you get them for 3 years and they're a 3 year impact player. And then at the fourth year, everybody wants them. So they're a trade asset.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's like the best use of a late first is you get 3 years of useful low contract.
Absolutely.
And a fourth year, he's a great trade chip. So it's just something to kind of consider. Again, when I was going through this, I was looking for trends and that was the only trend I saw. And I was like, huh, interesting.
I mean, if you pick that guy at backup center, are you comfortable playing him next year?
I mean, again, it depends. Maybe.
If it's Koloko.
Maybe. I mean, again, like it's possible because I think it's such an easy role. And also, I do think, unlike last year where it was the only option Denver had, I think there is something, too. If you have a Koloko, you could also have the option of playing Zeke Nagy at the five sometimes. Like, oh, Coloco's not working out today or it's a bad matchup. Let's go to a small ball one. I think last year it was the only thing they had. Teams could game plan for one thing, and it kind of became an Achilles heel. But
don't know if you guys have a sense of this. Kamagate more of a project than right away, or do we think he could also fill that role?
He's a guy I was thinking about in that early second round range.
Maybe the 30 range.
Well, he's a 3 year player, right? He's been in Arizona for 3 years. So
that's Koloko. Kamagate is the guy from France.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't think you can pick him and be like, all right, you're a backup center. I don't think so.
All right.
Probably not, right?
Can we
probably.
We're going to get into some of these top fives. Can we start with Boom or Bust? I know you had them on the sheet in a different order, but let's do top five Boom or Bust before we take a break. That way we can spend some more time on the other one. Top five Boom or Bust players.
Starting with Nikola Jovic. wow. I think he could be the ultimate Boom or Bust guy of this draft. Kind of similar to Pokuševski last year. Maybe it was like 20% Boom potential, 80% Bust potential.
Yeah.
I feel like Jovic is kind of in that category. I sound like I'm hating on him, but it's just the type of archetype of prospect that he is.
Right.
From overseas, didn't even really play a ton last year. I just don't feel like there's a huge track record of success for those types of guys that are really young.
And you pick like bucket getter. Is that kind of the way you view like what he does best now?
Shooter. He's a shooter. But he didn't shoot well last year.
He does a little bit of Mario Hezonja. There's a little Mario Hezonja. We've seen Zana Musa. Like, it's not to like try to lump all European players into one basket, but it is this idea of like a ball handling, playmaking, lead or high usage guy.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, inevitably a little Boom or Bust, in part because the biggest difference between the NBA and some of the other leagues is like size, strength, athleticism, and it's hard to know how those things translate for a guy that hasn't played a lot against him. So I see it.
Right.
Dalen Terry is on that list because he just might not be able to shoot.
Yeah.
And like that's the big question mark with him. I like Dalen Terry. I think he's going to be good just because he's going to be a good defender. But if he can't shoot and he's not like the high impact defender that we think he might be, that could be a bust.
Mm. He's also like averages under 10 points per game, right?
Right.
Like there's always this thing in the draft where we just assume these guys are more than what they show. And you're like, in the Pac-12, you average 10 points per game, but in the NBA, you're going to give more than that. You never know.
Yeah. He's having a good workout circuit. That's a guy who people talk about a lot.
Oh, people love talking about him. Blake Wesley, the freshman point guard out of Notre Dame. If he can't shoot, I don't know how good he's going to be either. Everything's kind of riding on him developing a three-pointer. Kendall Brown out of Baylor, just a 6'8", incredible athlete.
Up with him.
I mean, he is just like a top 1% athlete, maybe the best athlete in the draft. Should be a good defender. What the heck is he going to do other than that? Like get out in transition, dunk the ball. How playable is he going to be in some environments? And then Bryce McGowan, who I actually kind of like. You can see some Zach LaVine in his game. But
Nebraska,
it seems like he's going to be the type of guy out of Nebraska that he's just going to need the right situation to really like let his game grow and marinate a little bit.
So friend of the show, Voyeslav, he hit me up because we were really tough on McGowan's and he was like, hey, man, that's a terrible program, which it is, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a place where like good prospects go to die. And so he had this sense of he's probably not as selfish as dumb or all these things. It's that they don't have a very good organization there, a very good program. So maybe cut him a little slack in that. Now, I don't know. I like watching some of the clips. Like you see when they say, hey, it's bad shot selection, and you see him like miss wide open cutters and take a fall away. Like, whose fault is that? But nonetheless, it should be taken with a grain of salt. There is something too. Also, these good players in terrible organizations that maybe there is something better there.
We're looking at a guy like Zeke too, who obviously played well in college, but maybe what was displayed and showcased. He's right. A good example, too, of a guy who maybe you don't always know the whole book. DraftKings Sportsbook.
Oh, well, good ad.
Wants hockey fans to know that the final chase for the Stanley Cup is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Final, has a can't-miss offer for the most exciting series in sports. New customers can bet $5 on either team to win their game. Guess what? You get $100 in free bets no matter what. Win or lose seems like a good deal to me, but remember, I'm an idiot. Looking to turn another small bet into a big payday during the final, DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. The more legs you add, the more you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. After all, it's yours. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code DNVR. New customers can bet $5 on either NHL team to win. You get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code DNVR, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Final. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Wind. Do we have a pick of the week?
Oh, we do have a DraftKings pick of the week.
What do we got?
We got the Avs Lightning.
Man, what are you gonna go here? Are you gonna give the Harrison Wind kiss of death? Oh no!
I've been hot on my DraftKings pick of the week. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh. All I'm right. taking the Avs tonight, of course.
Yo, can I tell you something?
Please.
I mean, I love this Avs team, and it's funny, man. It's fun. The Avs are kind of ruining hockey for me because they're so fun. But as much as they have dominated, like, I watch it every game. They're just so fun that you're like, what other team is going to be as fun as this? They win by 6 goals every game. But then they lose this last one, and it's funny because they've just kicked ass. And I'm like, hockey is a game more than any other sport where I feel like you could see the shifts, like, in real time. Like, once I think it was 3-1, felt like the air gets sucked out of like the Avs' sails, and you're like, okay, we'll see. So tonight, for the first time all playoffs, I'm nervous.
Okay, I'm taking the Avs -110 on the money line.
The energy I love it. I needed.
Mark it down. Book it.
Hey, dude, we don't cover the team. We can be cocky. Let's go Avs. They're rolling.
Can I tell you, man, the brightest timeline? They get the win tonight. Closeout game, Friday night at the DNVR bar. Mm. Is there going to be a hotter ticket? Maybe Ball Arena. Ball Arena would be a hotter ticket. Slightly. Outside of that, a Friday night, and if you win a Stanley Cup, Kale, if they could win it on a Friday, like,
it would be amazing. But it will. I will say, Super Producer Yahir's wedding is on Friday. That might be a hotter ticket. That might be a hotter ticket.
Super Producer Yahir's wedding for sure.
Come in so hot from that.
All right, let's get into now.
Really quick, actually, we do have to talk about Green Mountain Dental Group because we've had several DNVR listeners switch over there. You guys know, if you know the program, if you know DNVR, if you know BSN, then you definitely know Green Mountain Dental Group. Longtime friends, going back to the BSN days. They're in Lakewood. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like you, just like me, just like all of us here at DNVR Sports. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. You get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you leave. Tweet at us when you go. Tweet at us when you get that toothbrush. Tweet at us when you brush your teeth if you want. That's a little weird, but I will retweet it. Tag us and them when you go. Show them how this community can support our biggest sponsors. Check them out. Remember, get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group, and you receive a free Sonicare toothbrush as well.
Alrighty, back here, segment 2, DNVR Nuggets. Don't forget, tomorrow, 4:45, we go live, and we stay live for the rest of the night, basically, as all the different things happen. The Nuggets, 2 draft picks, potential trades. We'll have some great guests on, breaking down all the stuff that's going on. It's just a good time. We put a lot of work into it. Whole staff here at DNVR puts their hands into this one, and it's going to be a great one. So set your reminders. Watch us. Don't watch Jay Billis.
Come on.
Don't watch Stephen A. Smith. And these guys, come on. You want to hang out with the DNVR homies.
Do you want to hear about Kyrie Irving?
Or yeah, have you heard the latest guys? About
Dalen Terry?
You guys want to hear about James Harden and all those
things? No, I don't.
Do you guys, what could the Lakers do this year?
What you guys want to know is how many players we comp to Gary Harris. You know that. We know that.
All right. Let's get into the fun stuff here. Top 5 shooters available for the Nuggets. And what did you do outside of the lottery? So starting at 15, basically? Yeah,
this is lottery to kind of end of the first, early second. Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara was one of the best catch-and-shoot guys in the entire country last year. Shot over 40% from three. We've been hyping up this guy so much, I feel like NBA teams have taken notice.
Is that right?
He's now being projected to go in the teens after being in the early 20s a couple weeks ago. We'll see if he falls to Denver. I don't know. We can hold out hope. He's number one on my board still. Jake LaRavia out of Wake Forest. I said on the show yesterday, I've seen a lot of draft prospects come into Denver for pre-draft workouts. I can't remember a shooter who has an easier, cleaner, smoother shot than Jake LaRavia. I mean, the guy has a picture-perfect three-point stroke. He's going to be just your classic pick-and-pop big, I think. Malachi Branham out of Ohio State, who's been mid-range slipping game. A little in the draft. Mid-range game, but he's also got a great three-point shot as well, I think. I think he's going to be a very good three-point shooter. Caleb Houston, we talked about him yesterday, out of Michigan, should come in. I don't know what else he's going to do, but he's going to have a really good three-point shot.
Right, right.
And then I had to throw Christian Brown and Wendell Moore on this list as well.
Man.
Two guys that we've talked about a lot, both have really good three-point shots as well.
Terrible list.
Okay.
Terrible list. Here we go. Okay. You're missing the number one guy, in my opinion.
He also cheated on your second graphic.
What was it?
He put two
of them in there. Yeah, come on, man.
He did the work.
I know.
Those guys are so similar. Like, we've been just talking about them hand
yeah,
in hand.
I don't – yeah, Brown's three, I just hate, man. It's just gross looking. I know it goes in, and I know the numbers matter, but to me it's just not a pretty –
People way smarter than me really like Christian Brown.
I know. There's definitely some buzz for him, so I'm going to have to, like – He's definitely on my least favorite list.
We're going to have a Zeke Nagy.
We're
going to
have a total Zeke Nagy. I'm prepared to be wrong about this. I don't care. How do you leave Abaji off?
Because he's projected to go in the lottery.
Oh, so that's why. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he's not. He's not predicted to go in the lottery. I mean, he's
14.
He's around 14, 15 to 21. Like, I've seen him as low as 21.
No,
on some.
Wind,
you're right.
You're wrong.
I will say this. Poking around with some people, you know, just around the team, there's a chance. I think they feel the same way, like, sure. Probably a little bit.
Someone's going to.
But that there are avenues by which he would fall in the draft. And we know this. A lot of times with the draft, every team needs somebody different. Everybody values people different, scout different, whatever. So you could have a guy at Abaji whose fair value is 14. But the teams that want him are at 15 and 17. Sure. And or maybe it's just 15 and 24. And if, like, it passes on one thing happens that all of a sudden the team that should be taking him and liked him the most doesn't, everybody else already kind of has their guys, and then they end up falling five spots instead of one, which is what you would think.
All it takes is, like, one person reaching, and everyone's sort of projected board starts to slide
from
there.
Like, Michael Porter is the ultimate example of this. It was like he was, like, five or six, and some of the intel came out, and then he slipped, and you think, well, he would slip one or two. No, he slipped all the way, and he might have slipped all the way out of the first round just because of how it was. So sometimes it just takes the one team that's like, that's the guy we liked, and so we're going to go there.
There's always a draft morning surprise where – somebody's medical records get leaked, or somebody get the
it's
word.
It's actually 25 years old. Yeah. Not, like,
the
on.
Word gets around that this guy has just been awful in interviews. Like there's going to be some storyline that comes out the morning of the draft that sends somebody slipping.
So Abaji, to me, I think tomorrow when we do our top fives, I think he's going to be number one. Denver's talked about trading up, down, or sideways.
That's right.
If they do trade up, to me, that's the only guy that I would be like, if you're going to consolidate two picks and turn into one, that's the only guy to me that I would be excited to do that about in a realistic range. Of course, if you got up to like Sohan or something like that. But if you were just saying 21 and 30 to move up to 16 to take him, it's the only guy I like. Not even Tari Eason.
Abaji would be number one on the shooters list.
All right, so he would be number one.
Best shooter.
All right.
If he's in the range.
Your list? Redeemed. Your list redeemed. Let's go to top five ready now.
Top five ready right now.
These are guys, they're going to play next year for sure.
Yeah.
Or probably.
Let's start with our guy, Jalen Williams.
Really? I'm kind of surprised here.
Oh, yeah, man. He, junior out of Santa Clara, got a lot of games under his, but I think he's just got an NBA-ready game. EJ Liddell out of Ohio State, I think he's got an NBA-ready game too. He's just a man amongst boys in the Big Ten. I think he's going to step in and play a role.
EJ Liddell, real quick, upside rookie season. If he was, like, on Denver, what's the upside rookie season for him?
Like a Zeke Nagy from last year.
So he's, like, 1 year beyond Zeke Nagy.
Yeah, I don't think Liddell's a fit in Denver, really. Wendell Moore also ready now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We've talked about that. Christian Brown ready now. And Marjon Beauchamp, who I feel like is becoming my guy. I did a big film breakdown on him on thednvr.com.
Nice
it's up
plug.
Right now. I'm liking Beauchamp more and more. The more I look at his game, like I am a fan. I think he's pretty NBA ready. Played in the G League last year, which I think you get some points for. I just think he's going to come in and be a factor definitely on the defensive end of the floor from day one. I'm a Beauchamp guy.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a non-zero too offensively. I really do. So the idea of a guy who, okay, you know he can do that one thing you need, but maybe you don't quite have to pick and choose so much. And then with Jalen, he's a guy who I think...
I'm surprised by this one. Number one most ready? I think so, yeah.
I don't know what Wendell said. It's his list. With him, I just think he sees and understands the game so well that there may not be this sort of overwhelming and jarring jump for him.
He has such a mature game, is how I describe
precisely.
It.
Precisely. I agree with that.
Does he have the physical traits to be in the NBA right away? Is he a guy that needs to spend 1 year getting his body NBA ready?
I think his body's good. I think he's good. He's strong. I think he uses his body well. He's kind of got a little bit of that old man's game to him where he's just always in control. I think he's pretty NBA ready.
That's an interesting list here, man, for NBA ready guys. Wendell Moore's another one. He's one of my guys I like. I mean, I like him a lot, especially at 30. I really like him at 30.
Yeah.
But I if I picture him being on the Nuggets, does he play? And I guess he does play next year. I mean, I think Denver could go into the season with him as sort of the fifth guard.
Or
I would
definitely
say.
Year two. You could. I would.
Yeah. Why do you think EJ Liddell's not a Nugget fit?
He's a 6'7 power forward, and I just think the Nuggets are kind of stacked at that position. Aaron Gordon, that's his best position.
Right.
Michael Porter Jr., that's his best position.
Yeah, that's kind
of they've
true.
Got Jeff Green still on this roster that's as true. Of now. Zeke Nnaji, like the Nuggets want to see what Zeke Nnaji is going to give them next season in his third NBA season, and they still don't really know what he is.
Is there any chance that Zeke Nnaji is on the trade block for the Nuggets? Like, EJ Liddell make sense if it was like Zeke Nnaji and 30 for something else? Maybe it's not a pick, but it's a player, and all of a sudden now you do have room for EJ Liddell.
I mean, maybe. I just think the Nuggets like Zeke Nnaji enough to be like, we want to see what he can give us, unless there's just like a no-brainer trade out there.
Right.
And I don't think another team is going to look at Zeke Nnaji and be like, that's our guy.
A report came out today that the Pacers have a lot of players they like in the back half of the draft, allegedly. Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon, the piece, you know, most likely to be moved. I mean, is there like, again, I think you need more into this deal, but is there some type of deal that includes the 21st pick, Zeke Nnaji, and you get back a Brogdon? So, you know, maybe it would open. I don't know. That's just one of the things I think about.
I've thought about that deal also, the Brogdon one.
What is it? Yeah, it's probably like, what else are you putting in there, Monte Morris?
I mean, I'm just not a big Brogdon guy.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you. I'm lower.
It'd be a win now trade for sure. Like, you're putting your chips into the pool to get Brogdon.
You're more in on him, though, than you are Monte. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't know. Brogdon's not the guy I'm trying to go out and get. He's just not. Yeah.
I don't know if the comparison is like him versus Monte or him versus what else Monte might be able to get you.
Gotcha. Okay. How important do you think ready win now is for the Nuggets?
Not important, actually.
So there's some guys that are actually like that we haven't even covered in this draft that are almost draft and stash type players.
Yeah.
Like 1 year G League or stash. And I'm like, it seems so foreign, but maybe it shouldn't be.
At the beginning of this, I was like, all right, I need my ready now defender that's going to come in and just be able to play rotation minutes from day one.
You need your Jaden Springer.
Right.
You need and your Jaden Springer. The more I think about it, F them picks.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't even want any.
Like, well, I'd be fine with a guy at 30 because 30 is low-key like the best pick in the first round because you get the guy on the four-year contract on the cheap. But whoever they take in the draft – most likely is not going to be a factor next year on this team. He's just not.
Is there any scenario? I know money gets
especially
tight
in the playoffs.
Money gets really tight here, but is there any scenario where it's actually better to have a stash? If it's better to have a player that doesn't take up a roster spot this year? But then you just have more
that
contracts
would be better than
minimums.
Having a bull on the end of your bench, you know?
But to your point, then you got to fill that contract through. You got to find someone externally some other way. That roster spot, rather. So.
Right. Which maybe they can do. I don't know.
By the way, though, I fully agree with everything Harrison just said. I don't know. I was so obsessed with fit again.
Totally. This is the path it always goes.
And even you run through that list that Adam did, even the guys who worked out, it's an even smaller list when you go, how many of them year one were ready to go?
Right. And
how important is that, really?
I think Akil brings up a great point in the comments. Jordan Poole is a 30th pick. That's the development path that I think Denver could get behind here. A guy who maybe 2 years from now emerges And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, here's another piece of the core.
Sure.
Yeah. We have to remember Golden State's path, though, that they basically had his rookie season be a wasted season.
Yeah.
They got a second season. You know, that wasn't quite a fully wasted season. But again, like, I just don't know if Denver's in that. And another reason I think Jalen Williams is such an interesting person to have on your, like, ready now list is he just plays such a complicated role. It's like quarterback in the NFL or something. Like, if you were going to be a pick and roll facilitator and scorer, that's so different. Like, ready now to me is Wendell Moore, who it's like, you got to guard, you got to stand in the corner. You know, it's easy. Jalen Williams would need to, like, know the playbook and understand how to read a playbook and get people. We even saw with Bones, who was surprisingly a very ready now player last year. Even he, that was the curve that he had to get over early on.
Yeah. I just think Jalen Williams has a mature game, and he's just a really good basketball player, kind of in the same way Bones is.
Yeah,
he's a hooper. He just gets on the floor. You throw him into a pickup game, and he's just good to go. I think there's something to that.
Wouldn't you love the Jalen Bones backcourt too? Like, I mean, there's not a lot of big defensive second unit, especially if that young they are. But boy, two playmakers.
Yeah.
See, the thing about Bones, he is a hooper, but there's basketball player in him.
Oh, for sure. You know, yeah,
it's a point guard.
All right, let's take our break. On the other side, we're going to get to top five defenders, top five highest upside, which should be fun. That's the two everybody wants to know about. Okay. Defense and upside.
Adam, pop quiz, what is the official beer of DNVR?
That would be Breckenridge Brewery.
That would be Breckenridge Brewery.
Right Harrison. Now, you know what I'm drinking?
Oh, what are you drinking?
The Avalanche Amber.
You're drinking the Avalanche Amber. Do you know about the score two for a brew deal?
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
Well, so right now, obviously, the Avalanche are playing, and they're typically whipping ass. If they score two or more goals in the first period, which everyone enjoys, Breck Brew is going to spot your Avalanche Amber Ale. If you bought one from a bar.
They need two in the first period tonight. They need it.
They need it. So go ahead and buy your Avalanche Amber Ale at a bar right now, because Breck Brew will pay you back via rebate when you upload that receipt after they do score two goals tonight. Or if you're still feeling nuggetsy ahead of the draft, get that Mile High City Kapa Lager. It's real good, tastes good, and it looks like the nuggets because the thing's on the can. Check out Breckenridge Brewery, and don't forget the Breck Beer Locator, the neatest tool around. What else do we got? Hifaka TV. These guys are so neat. People had such a hard time watching their favorite sports teams in Colorado this year, and Hifaka stepped in and said, you know what we'll do? We'll do what the billionaires won't. We're going to get your teams back on TV. So right now, you don't have to worry about that cable provider. Just hook yourself up with Hifaka, because they have Altitude Sports, AT&T Sportsnet, and also DNVR, baby. We got a channel on that service, and that service is available in both Denver and Colorado Springs. I know you want it. How do you get it? You go to Hifaka.tv/DNVR. That's Hifaka.tv/DNVR. Use promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months, plus receiver. No contracts, no hidden TVs. They get the people going.
All right, we are back. Segment three, final segment, filling out our top fives ahead of tomorrow's draft.
The Green Room attendees just came out.
Well, it's been out, I think, for a little
the
bit.
The full list just dropped.
I know that Jovich got the invite.
Jovich got one, yeah.
Yeah. How do they determine this, by the way? Usually it's like, okay, all lottery guys, and then they'll add a few extra, but like Bol Bol famously was a Green Room guy. Had to sit there by himself for freaking 4 hours.
I know. If you're a guy like Jovich, it's a risky going Green Room for sure.
You think?
Yeah. I think the league does some reporting of their own, and they're like, all right, who do we think is going to go in the first round?
Right. Do you think Misko will be, that means he'll be there?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question.
He'll be sitting there in the green room with him? We'll find out. All right. Top five defenders. Everybody wants defense.
Oh, yes.
Walk me through.
Top five defenders in the draft. Tari Eason.
He's the number one defender.
I love
him. He's my number one defender in the Nuggets range.
Who's he like? Jay Crowder?
He's Herb Jones, man.
He's Herb Jones.
He's
defender.
Herb Jones, yeah.
Wow.
Same measurables, same kind of blocks.
He's thicker,
steal
though.
Rate.
He's thick, Herb Jones.
Tari Eason, I think that's the comp. Your four can play up and guard some threes, can play five in a small ball lineup, can defend all over the floor on the ball, help side.
Can I ask you, how did he not get ready now?
He's a sophomore. He's kind of young.
But do you think, like, if he was on the Nuggets next year, he wouldn't play?
I don't think. I mean, I think situational, maybe.
Okay.
You know, situational. I don't think he'd be a lock to play.
You get Jeff Green. You've got if they got Tari Eason, because I think they would take him if he's available. Like if that's an option,
yeah.
I think it's no question they're going to take him. He's almost certainly not going to be available. That's the flip side. But if he was, for whatever reason, I think they take him. And then you look at that and you go, do they keep Jeff Green and Zeke Nagy? Or do they look at that and go, wow, we didn't expect to get him. That gives us flexibility with those guys. Let's see what's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Tari Eason falls into their lap at 21, and there would have to be something that like pops up that we don't really know too much about for him to fall that far. I think he's being projected in, you know, the late teens right now. But if he fell to 21, I think he could definitely be the pick.
Yeah, and I even wonder, I know he's 6'8", and offensively, like, the shot you're not quite sure about, but I even wonder if you could get away with him at small forward in certain lineups because of the defensive versatility. I just think he's quick enough.
So.
And if the shot comes along, you know, you put a 6'8 guy there, you start thinking about the other pieces. We're talking about that idea of just getting the Nuggets bigger and longer, even if not better, right, on defense, just bigger and longer, and I think he helps.
Yeah. He's an interesting one. Number one defender, though, I was a little surprised by that. All right,
who would you have?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I
so that's an important.
Well, no. Like, I mean, you got guys like Beauchamp. You know, you got guys he's like there, you know, yeah. You got some of these other guys. But Tari Eason at number one, just especially as emphatically as he has him. Actually, your number two guy might be number one, although it's with it's hard to do centers. But go ahead.
Yeah, it is Walker Kessler out of Auburn. He just won NCAA Defensive Player of the Year. He averaged 4.6 blocks per game last year.
He's a monster.
He's a huge guy. He's a wall at the rim. He's a force in the paint. He's being projected to go to the Timberwolves at 19 in ESPN's latest mock draft. That'd be an interesting pick for Tim Connelly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
By the way, the words out of Minnesota, Tim Connelly moving to Karl-Anthony Towns to power forward. I'm just like, are you more worried about that because you think it's going to be awesome, or are you like, what the hell?
What the hell?
You know, Dame Moore.
It's a bold move to get in there and do that.
Dame Moore actually was tweeting that Towns playing alongside a center is not actually as out of left field as it seems. He's done it before, like mm-hmm. with guys like Taj, and even with Vanderbilt right now, who is that four, he right, also, right. It's yeah. he can't
They're
do anything
roles,
offensively,
yeah.
So it's kind of, it's not that dissimilar, so it's not super.
Tim Connelly sliding Vanderbilt to the bench, his guy?
Oh, God.
Oh man, poor.
Can you imagine?
Poor Vanderbilt going to get traded by Tim Connelly
yeah, he
twice.
Saw the Tim news, he was like, dude, come on.
Come on, what the heck? Yeah, he's, look, we've seen Jokic in the past struggle with twin tower lineups. Now, Denver wasn't always – they kind of had their own twin tower that wasn't a tower with Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
So I think there is a solution to a twin tower for Jokic-led offense. You put a stretchier player out there. But nonetheless, I'm intrigued. And also Kessler, I don't think Denver – you know, I don't think he'll be Denver's pick. But
I don't either.
He is a guy that when you talk about elite rim protection, it's a weird bold. But if you told me in 4 years – so he plays 3 years as a backup, plays 15 minutes a game. In 4 years, is there not a team that looks out there and goes, oh, rim protector, 7'1", knows the game, you know, can do this? We'll take that. You know, that's a good guy. I think that there's a realistic scenario there.
Yeah. He's also pretty fluid for being as big as he is.
Yeah.
I've also got Dalen Terry on this list. I mean, if Dalen Terry hits, it's going to be mostly because of his defense. 6'7", switch everything. He's all over the floor on defense. On the ball, help side, he's everywhere.
Shooting the gaps.
Yeah. Marjon Beauchamp, I think he is going to come into the league, and I wrote this yesterday, as a better team defender than on ball.
Mm.
But I think in due time, he's going to be a very, very good defender, both on and off the ball. Help side, he's got some rim protection. He's just like a ridiculous athlete, so he can really contest things at the rim. He's got a nose for the ball. He's got good hands as well. So I'm high on Beauchamp, as you can tell. And
well, real quick, what's the gap between Terry and Beauchamp in your mind? How big of a gap is that?
I don't think there's that big of a gap.
Mm.
And honestly, I have Beauchamp ahead of Terry on my board because Terry just can't shoot.
Yeah.
And Beauchamp did not have a good shooting season last year, but we watched him shoot yesterday. He looked pretty good, and even his shot in the G League looked better than Dalen Terry's did last year. I've just got some concerns about Terry's shot. But Beauchamp, I just think, is more well-rounded also.
I can feel you talking yourself into Beauchamp with each passing minute.
Oh, it's – I mean, by the end of this show, he might be number one on the board.
But yeah. As a defender, though, you think they're, like, neck and neck?
Maybe Terry slightly higher just because that's – I think, more a focus of his game.
Okay.
And Beauchamp is more of a two-way guy.
Okay.
Terry is more of a defense first. So I think Terry's slightly ahead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Then last on your list.
Last I had Christian Brown, my guy.
This is your guy, you huh?
He's six on my board. Every draft guy who follows the draft. Entire NCAA season and draft loves his defense. So I've got to think there's something to it.
They also love him in Denver. You know, it's just, it seems hard to get away
from. A lot of draft people that I've been reading like Brown more than Abaji. Which is interesting.
But he's teammates. Yeah. Like,
he's a guy too that I think is hard to pin down on the boards in terms of where he's going. You know, some people seem to be a lot higher on him than others, but I don't know.
Who likes him more than Abaji? Like, give me an example. You really see him more ahead sometimes. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple places.
That's crazy to me.
Not like willing to rank them in the opposite order, but being like, I wouldn't be surprised if Brown's a better NBA player than Abaji.
I've long said that my like basketball takes on these, we just scouted 30 players over the last like month, like not even that long of a period of time. There's no way I should feel that confident. I really believe that people that do feel too confident in this, either you're doing this all year round or you're just like fooling yourself. So like, I don't have super strong takes about any of these guys. I do want the one thing you don't get when the way we do scouting, when we're watching the videos, we're watching the breakdowns, we're reading the articles, we get a sense of a guy's skill set. You don't get a sense of how do they impact winning. And when I see a championship team like Brown versus Abaji, if I just compare their skill sets, I'm like, Abaji's way better. That's why I'm so blown away. But I wonder if all the people telling you this are guys that are watching Kansas every night and they're like, no, the contribution to winning comes from over here a little bit more. And it doesn't necessarily show up in you know, the stats or the skill sets.
Probably some of that.
Could be. I don't know. I do know a lot of people like him. And I know that part of why I hate him is because his shot is gross and he has a negative wingspan.
Desmond Bane 2.0, baby.
Two things that like just like I
don't
over.
Think his shot is gross. That's so crazy.
It's a little gross to me. It's a little gross. This doesn't look so natural. All right. The last one we've got. The top five. Highest upside. Okay. Highest upside. We're talking superstars here.
Yeah, so I put Tari Eason number one on this list in the Nuggets range. I mean, I think if you look at Eason, 6'9", 7'2 wingspan, he could be an elite defender, and it looks like he can shoot the three a little bit too. Like, he could just be the type of defender that the Nuggets need and that, like, a lot of teams covet in the front court, being able to guard 3-4 positions, tons of steals, blocks at the rim. Like, he's got all NBA defensive upside to me. And that's enough to get him in the top five in this range of the draft.
But is he more than, say, Robert Covington?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You
look at Tari Eason's steal and block rate in college, it, like, blows Herb Jones's out of the water. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. He also was, like, competent offensively. I know there's at the next level because, like, you know, his handle and everything, but at the very least, he will be a freak in transition. You know, I think he just kind of
there's some Pascal Siakam to his game also.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I like the upside. That's interesting. But is he an all-star upside in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is blowing my mind.
All-NBA defense upside, all-star upside.
All-NBA defense upside, I can see that. But I'm trying to think of a player that's like an all-
Pascal Siakam.
Oh, man, that's wild. Okay. Because, that's a star. Okay.
Yeah. I also threw Jaden Hardy on this list, a guy we haven't talked about, but Jaden Hardy,
you're right, he's a superstar mold.
Was projected as a top five pick this time last year. He is in the mold of a guy who, you know, if he's not scoring and the number one option and doing it efficiently, how really valuable is he?
He could have been a boomer bust guy.
He could have been a boomer bust guy, but I think he's at least going to score it a little off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, he could be your Cam Thomas off the bench. Yeah. Your Deion Waiters off the bench. So if everything hit for him, there's something there. Dalen Terry also, I just think he's got so much upside. He's so young. He's 19 years old, and he's just got such a unique and versatile game where – I feel like if he hits, he can just be like an Andre Iguodala, jack of all trades guy.
I want
who can
Iguodala.
Fit in on any type of team. I think there's a ton of upside there.
It is so funny, man. There's like not many Iguodalas, and I know people. Sometimes some fans in Denver still hate him, but the thing about Iggy is not again his skill set individually, like shoot, pass. There's like it's that he just gets it all around.
Yeah. Also, Malachi Branham, who I think could be Chris Middleton.
I like this one.
Reminds me of that with his offensive game. Great from the mid-range, great-looking shot, should be a good defender as well.
It's going to be interesting seeing where he goes. The team that takes him, there's good fits and bad fits. I'm intrigued by him.
I really wonder if we're sitting here at 21 and he's slipping to 16, 17.
You got to take him.
18. You got to take him. One and done out of Ohio State. He is a legit starting two guard in this league, I think.
That would be the funniest guy to fall. Doesn't really fit in any needs. Yeah. But, man, he's a hooper.
Yeah.
He's a hooper. And a basketball player. He's a hooper basketball player.
And finally, Nikola Jovic. I think he does have a ton of upside. He's boom or bust, but if everything goes his way, I think he could be Danilo Gallinari. That would be incredible at 21.
Do you think he could be the next Jokic / Durant hybrid, the chat wants to know?
1% chance.
The next.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've seen that.
I don't know if I
yet.
See. Like, what is Jovic's 100th percentile outcome?
Gallinari.
Is that, I mean, that's.
At 21.
So the fifth most upside is Gallinari?
But we're at 21 and 30.
In this range? In the post-lottery range, I think you could get Danilo Gallinari and be ecstatic.
I'm trying to think of some guys over here that maybe have a high upside of some of these guys. I mean, Patrick Baldwin we talked about yesterday. I don't really see the upside being higher than that. Jake LaRavia?
No.
Okay.
That's Nemanja Bjelica 2.0.
Is there, like, Kendall Brown, to me, actually has a little bit of this to him. Like, Kendall Brown's one of the bigger enigmas to me.
Kendall Brown is tough because I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of player is Kendall Brown?
I'm still surprised at how tempered everyone is with him because when you talk about the positives, just under 6'8", 6'11 wingspan, arguably the top athlete in the draft.
He's just 7 on my board vote.
Just that description alone, I mean, half the teams in the league at least consider it, right? But I know there's a lot of questions offensively. I just wonder if there are other questions as well. Not that I know anything. I just wonder.
I just wonder if he has a little bit higher upside than we're giving him credit for here. Maybe not.
Maybe he figures out how to score. He's probably a monster.
The one that's funny to me, and he could have been on the boom or bust role as well, as David Roddy. I know we talked about him a lot early on. I don't think David Roddy's the next Draymond Green. I don't think he's one of those guys. But I do think that there's a chance that he's like a winning piece. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not a star. And when we talk about upside, we're usually talking about star, superstar upside. But David Roddy might end up being the guy that like every team wants, a la P.J. Tucker over the last decade, where it's just like he's the perfect combination of talents and whatever. And his upside's actually super high. He just keeps winning everywhere he goes. Could be the case. I don't know. I'm not really banking on it. Well, those are good lists. Those are good lists. I'm really curious now that you guys see this. So there's two names to me that jumped out as we did these lists. Two names. Tari Eason and Jalen Williams. Mm-hmm. You had both of them on multiple lists, and you had both of them at the top of multiple lists.
They're also 1 and 2 on my board.
They're also 1 and 2 on your own. So you get Jalen Williams as number one shooter and number one ready now. You get Tari Eason as number one upside and number one defense.
Yeah.
I love me some Tari.
Yeah. Eason... For everything we've been talking about what the Nuggets need for the last 2 years, I feel like Eason more than anybody fits that mold.
So I know this, like, people when they buy a house, you know, they'll set a budget. They'll say, you know, I got $300,000 to spend. I want to find a house in this range. This is years back, not now, of course. Now I got $1 million to send. Show
Cash.
Me some houses. Yeah,
show me those same houses you showed the other guy 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago, exactly. No. All right, let's say somebody says, I have $500,000. All right, we want to see a house. Yeah, you show them the $500,000 house, and they're like, I like this, I like this, I like this. You show them the $480,000, they're like, ooh, it's a little cheaper, I skimp on this. You show them the $550,000, just, you know, why not? Let's just show them the $550,000. All of a sudden, they're like, that's the one I want. Well, it's, but it's out of your budget. Well, then why'd you show it to me? A lot of this is like Tari Eason. Some of these guys were like,
he's right on that line, that would be
perfect.
But he's
just like, what? It's almost, if he does end up going 16, 15, 14, it's one of those things where it's like, of course he's perfect. Because he's not in the same caliber of player. Yeah,
that's why my board is horseshit. It's just all those guys.
Do you want to talk about your boy?
Who's my boy?
Gabriel Prochita.
Oh, yeah. One guy we haven't talked about. Yeah, one guy we haven't talked about. But
he's been getting flying up boards lately. One of the highest risers in the pre-draft process, it seems like. Gabriel Prochita out of Italy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, Andre.
I'm so bummed Andre's not here. Yeah, or Italian.
But he is one of the best shooters in the draft, and also a great athlete. He's probably a draft and stash guy out of Italy, 20 years old, projected early second round pick.
It is funny because all these guys that are on your list are like, they're great shooters or they're great defenders or some where they're like great at one and okay at the other. This is a guy that projects to be good as a slasher. He's like Rudy. He reminds me of Rudy Fernandez, little I watched with him. Well, it's just fun. Like, you know how Rudy Fernandez was like dunk on everyone? Yeah. He would go... We talk about athleticism and then does it translate to it? This guy like tries to dunk everything and successfully pulls it off a lot. He's really long, elite shooter, or projects to be an elite shooter. Yeah. So he's got the slashing, all parts of slashing down. He's not a good creator. And I think his game is, when I say not a good creator, he's actually like really bad at it. And one of the reasons people think he's going to be a draft and stash is he has all of these physical tools and then the finishing of those, finishing at the rim, finishing behind the three-point line, but he doesn't have the how to get there. Like, you kind of have to set him up between those. So the idea is a little bit of adding some body weight because he can be pushed around a little bit, and then also working on his handle that unlocks every other aspect of his game, but that's a year away. So Denver, maybe they do get into a point where they make some trades, they fill out their roster, and this pick is really more of a stash type player. Right. He's a guy I could see maybe at 30 that's like, yo, in 1 year, this guy could actually be very intriguing, but he's not going to play next year, whether he's here or stashed.
Yeah. He can shoot the hell out of the ball, that's for sure.
6'8".
He can dunk on people.
With a wide wingspan too, I think, right? Like, it's 6'8", and I think he's actually got like really good measurables too. So he's not just 6'8", he's a long... He might be like a Michael Porter-esque type, like... You know, very, very long player that also can shoot.
He's intriguing. I'll tell you that.
Put him on the top five intriguing list.
intrigued. Guys, that does it. That concludes the podcast portion of our pre-draft. We do have a super chat here. What do we got?
Here we go.
KB82 says, is there a player worth trading 30 and 21 to fill Denver's 3-and-D vacancy? Then Gordon can be your wing D and the draft pick could be your perimeter D. Is there a guy?
You were talking about Abaji earlier as that guy, maybe, right?
Here's the thing. That question can't be answered, I don't think, just on its own, because it really matters what happens left. This is where the NBA is really interesting, that the draft happens before free agency. I think the NBA would actually be very different if it happened, not better or worse. It's just everything would be different. Yeah. You could imagine if Denver filled out, we believe that their championship roster probably doesn't feature a ton of rookies, maybe not even one in the rotation. But they have to make this decision before those ones. And so that's the hard part. Do they know they have, let's just say, do they know they have Tybull and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope lined up? We just know those deals are wink, wink, handshake agreed to.
Sure.
They're in the bag. Then, yes, maybe you can't afford, and it didn't cost those assets. Sure, you can afford to do that and bring in a guy who's going to play 500 minutes this year, 15 next year, and then a bunch after that. You can afford to do that. But if you make those moves now and you trade two assets to move up to get one, and then all of a sudden free agency X doesn't go through and trade doesn't go through, and all of a sudden now you don't have those assets to pivot. So to me, the answer is yes, if they have other deals lined up. I just don't think they'll have other. I think they need to use those picks for those deals.
I don't think you're trading up those two with those two picks to go get a guy who's going to be a big factor this next season. I just don't. I think you got to find that guy in the trade market or free agency.
I really feel more than ever that not just myself, but all of us in this circle are less sure about precisely what Denver wants to do here. Right. But I just think they're trade one of those picks and use one of those picks, to me, seems like the sensible and likely outcome. But.
It seems the most likely outcome. I do think everything's on the table.
Definitely.
And again, like, there are scenarios in which you move on from a Bones, and at which point then maybe, yeah, you do want a higher level prospect. Because right now that's part of what Bones represents to Denver. I'm saying what Bones represents is this pipeline that has not just...
Right. Right.
Like, Zeke represents role players in the pipeline. Bones represents star player in the pipeline. And
he's the Nuggets' Jordan Poole,
I think. And if you lost him, you would be uncomfortable not having at least something there. So maybe then you trade up and get something there. So that would be my answer. All right, that does it, guys. We're back tomorrow, 4:45. It's going to be a long one. Grab some snacks, order a pizza, get ready.
Sexy pizza.
Sexy pizza. You're going to want to settle in at 4:45 right when we hit record. We're going to have a lot of stuff and some great guests on. We'll see you guys then. Hit that like button on the way out.